spheres of authority. The first sphere we're going to talk about is authority in the world system. And there is a world system of government that we have to learn to submit to. The second sphere is going to be in the home or the family, that there has to be authority. And then the third sphere is within the church. And that pretty much covers the whole system of government that God has established upon the earth. What the first one I said? The world system, the home or the family, and then within the church. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis 1 and 26 and 27, and we're going to look at this first, this government, how the government was established within the earth realm for men to be submitted to men. What I say? Men being submitted unto men. And we're going to see how God played this in order, okay? Genesis 1, 26. It talks about God made man in his own image, right? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have, what that word is?
Dominion.
Now, look what he first gave man dominion over. All the living creatures. All the living things. You see it? You don't see dominion over man. No. God hasn't said that government all yet. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And hear that word again. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, that shows us what God gave dominion over in the first part of his creation. But let me read some of these notes here. We're in the chapter, if you want to follow in your book, Delegate Authorities Instituted by God. I don't remember what chapter it is, but maybe look in your context or something, you might see it. During Adam's time, God gave men dominion over the whole earth. What they were to govern, however, were the living creatures. I just read Genesis 1:26-28. After the flood, however, God handed the power of governing man or man's fellow man to Noah, stating that whosoever shedded man's blood, by man shall blood be shed. Now look at Genesis 9 and 6 here. God's setting up a new order now. What happened here is that after the flood, a new creation evolved. Noah became Adam. Noah became another Adam, beginning the earth all over again. Now God's going to make a new covenant with Noah, and the covenant going to change a little bit. The covenant, man became so sinful. You remember before the flood, how the people were sinning, and they sinned right up to the flood. They didn't recognize Moses and Noah, and they didn't even pay attention or take heed to Noah's preaching, and so they were destroyed by the flood. Man, wickedness, God said, all the imagination. Boy, that's a bad place to get. When all a person's imagination become evil, that ain't much hope for you. All your imagination became evil. So man got to that state where all his imagination, all his thoughts, all he could think of was evil, and God couldn't couldn't take it no more because he had to destroy man, and he said he's sorry, made man after that. So God saved Noah and his family, his wife and his three sons, then their wives, and he began a whole new earth, a whole new population. He gave them some of the same, look at Genesis 9 and 1, some of the same command that he gave Adam and Eve at the beginning. Genesis 9. I'm just refreshing you so you can see from how this thing is important to God and how God established this authority upon the earth and why it's so important to us to be able to understand all three. 9 and 1 say, and God blessed Noah and his son and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Don't that sound like he's been repeated once before? He said it in Genesis 1. And the fear of you and the dread of you should be upon every beast, as the same thing told Adam. I gave you dominion over them. And it should be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, and to your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the blood, with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood, if come up to the verse, and surely your blood of your life will I require. Talking about man, blood he's going to require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Here's the verse. Underline it in your Bible. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shedded. In other words, man going to judge man. In the image of God made he him. I just want to read that to let you know where God stipulated this new law into being a part of the covenant with Noah, that now man's going to be under dominion of a man. A man going to rule a man. Man going to have laws to govern man. And so because God trying to put a handle on man's behavior. You understand what I'm saying? And we're going to get some good stuff about the family because it's important to understand the authority in the home, because many homes are destroyed, many children's lives are destroyed because of a lack of authority in the home. It's not the children's fault they turn out bad. You know, we say, well, that the gang they follow. No, that the gang people let them follow. You see, when we were growing up, it was much different from the way things are now. More permitted, and the more permitted, the more sin can reign. All right? Now, God is putting Noah in charge of man's government. All right? Now, let me read some more notes, because the notes are pretty important. I need you to take a hold of what's being said here. In the world, after the earthly authority, Paul not only exhorts positively towards subjection, but also warns negatively about resistance. Now, we'll go over to Romans 13 in verse 1, which we covered this earlier in our lesson, 13 and 1. But we're going to go a little more detail, and hopefully with a little bit more understanding what God is doing here. Through the history and the record that God gave us through Genesis about how he began to develop his authority in the earth. But we also want to see how this transfer itself until the new covenant. We're going to see that God never changed his mind about how he want to do things. All right, Romans 13, verse 1. Apostle Paul is laying on this law, bringing the church to remembrance, or some kind of divine order of what they should do, and letting them know that that's not all spiritual. Excuse me. Sometimes people think it's all spiritual. No, but there's a natural side that we have to respect. That's the natural side of government that have to be respected. Or the word, not the word, yes, the word. The word gonna seem of none effect when it comes to unbelievers. Why is that? Well, if anybody expect to uphold the law, it's mainly Christians. Should be honest, of good report, and outstanding when it comes to honor and respecting man's law. You see it? So we will not bring the word of God to shame. Not that the word of God can come to shame, but I'm trying to get a pun over. That the word of God doesn't work. If the Christian can't magnify God in their lives, then what do sinners or unbelievers have to look up to? If our lives are no better than their lives, well, what's the difference? We just should remain sinners. And so that's why it's so important that we recognize the laws and the governing institute that God has put in place. But Apostle touched on something tonight, and it goes right along with my lesson. He said, yes, obey man's laws as long as man's laws don't counter, or man's laws doesn't undermine God's laws. Now, what does that mean? That means that man, if when man's laws overstep God's judiciary law, like making certain things legal that God forbids in his word, how are you going to make homosexual legal? You know, how are you going to make same-sex marriage a law? See, we can't follow those laws. That's not God's law. So we can't obey those laws. And we can't expect others to obey those laws. Not within the church. The world has its own system of government. But God forbid that we honor law that have been perverted through this world system of government. That's when sin getting this world system of government. You see, politicians heavy hang over their head if you try to be a Christian and a politician at the same time, because there's some rules you're gonna have to try to. They're gonna want you to bend. You see it? There's some rules they're gonna want you to bend, and as a Christian, you're gonna have to stand for God. You can't bend rules spiritually. You can't bend a spiritual rule. No, when you bend a spiritual rule, you come up against resistance against who? Against God. Because God's not been into this world's government. God's not been into the world's rule. And he don't expect you to bend. You see, that's why if a Christian will become a politician, heavy hang over their head. Because this government has a lot of perversion in it. And sometimes they go in and try to change the system, but heavy hang over their head. It's a war. It's a battle. You see it? It's a battle. Now, I need you to listen to me, because we're going to see how strong this resistant thing God takes personally. He says in that 13th chapter, verse 1, let every soul be subject or in submission unto the high powers or the higher authorities. That's what he's talking about, higher authorities. For there is no authority but of God. In other words, every bit of authority that you see upon the earth, God's law stand behind it. Whether the world upholds it as such, whether the world sees it as such, the church will see it as such. The church should recognize that all authority belongs to God. There's no authority but of God. The church got to recognize that. And we as leaders must recognize that all authority belongs to God, and there's no authority that exists except it comes from God. Jesus said, you have no power over me. Remember Jesus told them, and before the judgment seat, When Christ was being judged, he said, you have no power over me. I can call my Father right now. He'll send me 20 legions of angels. My goodness. Jesus overruled that government. He said, you have no authority over me. Because he was operating from another government, operating from another realm. They couldn't understand that. So they tried to punish them by their laws. They couldn't catch Jesus on God's laws, because Jesus obeyed every one of them. They tried to trap them with their laws, just like they do today. You take the law and twist it enough to make you look like you want to look. And so they try to get false witnesses to speak against Jesus. But the law of God always overruled the law of evil. That's Romans 8 and 2. You see, Apostle quoted that scripture, Romans 8 and 2. We're under another government. We're under another rulership. We should reign in another level. You see it? Yeah, I respect the laws. Yeah, I respect the speed sign that says 70, because you're going to get caught if you stop. You have no argument. If you got on that little gun, 75 in the 70, you can show you're wrong. You just might well add it up. Yeah, you're wrong. Because that's the law. They have to be upheld. But at the same time, we should not practice breaking the law. A man told me, he called me, I got a nephew. He preached the gospel. He said, he always got a little joke to tell me. He said, the police officer stopped me, and he don't know why I was speeding. He said, I was speeding because I didn't see you. Another way, if I wasn't seeing you, you wouldn't have caught me. That's why I was speeding, because I didn't see you. Now, well, we don't want to function like that as Christians. We don't want to speed because we don't see the police officer. You see, now, on the interstate, the traffic sometimes, you driving 70 and you like you're not moving sometimes. That's fine and dandy if you don't get caught. But I drive so peaceful. When I'm traveling, that's just me. My thing is, if you want to get somewhere on time, leave on time. That's my thing. Leave on time. People be driving crazy in the morning because they won't get an extra 15 minutes of sleep. No, get up. You gotta be driving all crazy. That's another lesson. But my point is, when I'm driving the speed limit, I'm so calm. I'm just so calm. I listen to my tape, I listen to my Christian music, whatever, talk to my wife. And I ain't thinking about getting caught. Why? Because I'm within the legal limits. You with me? But do that is evil. Scripture going to say, the next scripture going to speak for what I'm saying. Well, I just keep reading. Keep reading. Whosoever therefore, second verse, I'm getting to that point, resisted. Underline that word resisted. Resisted is another word for rebel. You see it? Whosoever therefore. Now, whosoever could be a Christian or a non-Christian. This law goes for all. You see it? Ain't got a law for that special law. Whatever Christian, see, you don't say that. Or resist, or sinner resist. The law, see, the world standard, it don't care if you're a Christian or not. He say, yeah, just stop you. I'm a preacher. And this guy said, and what else I'm supposed to know about that? You got to pay the same ticket, whether you're a preacher or not. You see it? So the law stands for the same, whether you, it don't make no difference. It don't have no black or white. They have no Christian or non-Christian when it comes to the earthly law. You see it? So let me finish reading here. For whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God. You mean all those traffic signs, all those red lights, all that is the ordinance of God? Yeah, God stand behind all that because he gave man the right to govern man. So he stand behind these laws. And did that come against, shall receive to themselves, they damn themselves. You see it? When a person resists, they bring damnation upon themselves. Yes, you bring damnation upon yourself when you come against authority. I remember I was coming from a vacation one year, and I was in a van. And I had so much luggage in my back, you know, in the back window. I can't see through the back. I couldn't see through the back window. All I had was my two side mirrors. And then evidently I'm coming through Slidell. And then this policeman pulled on the side of me and he's flagging me off with anger, boy. I could see him, he was mad. Get over. So I pulled on the side. I've been following you for 3 miles. Behind you. Now he just stirred me up a little bit. Because I didn't see him. Because my point was, if I saw you, I would have stopped. I said, I got all these luggage in the back. He got these little lights in the front, you know, going through the grill. And I couldn't see those lights. So I thought I had a good case. And so it wasn't a good case. And so I argued with him. He gave me another ticket for resisting a traffic officer. So I said, I better shut my mouth now. Because, I mean, he's right. But I thought I was right because I didn't see him. But I guess I was supposed to see him some kind of way. So I ended up getting 2 tickets to the 1. So sometimes you keep your mouth shut, you might just get 1. Or you might not give you none at all. Might just give you a warning if you're nice. But no, I won't argue against the law officer. And so I paid for it. He had 2 tickets. I bet I look now. Nah, but that was years ago. You see? So, but look at that third verse. For rulers, just the point I'm trying to get to. For rulers, authorities are not a terror to good works. Now, if I'm doing what's right, like I say, when I'm driving 70 on the interstate, I got my cruise control set. Now these officers, these cops can pass me all day long. I don't get fearful. I don't get upset. And because I'm doing within the law. Are you with me? But they're not a terror to good works. You're doing what's right. They're not going to bother you. Matter of fact, you praise, hey, officer, how you doing? You praise them. Matter of fact, you're doing a good job, sir. And so you really honor them because they're doing such a good job. But look at the next part of verse 2. Look at the next part. But to the evil, you see it? They are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. To the wrongdoers, to the evildoers, to the one that don't respect the law. That's who they're evil. That's who they're terror for. That's when you're guilty. That's when you're nervous because you get stopped because you were wrong. Will thou then not be afraid of the power or the authority? Here's the key. Here's the key, he said. Here's the key to being a good example of Christian ethics when it comes down to obeying and submitting to the ordinance of man. Here's the key. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You do that what's good, and you're going to praise those same people. Yeah, you're going to praise them. So now on, we're going to get up early, and we're not going to speed in the morning. And we're going to get up early enough to take our time. And I tell my daughter, I say, when it's foggy, you know you can't drive fast as you normally do. So get up, leave a few minutes early because you're going to drive a little bit slower. 1, 2, 3. A, B. That don't take a rocket scientist to understand that. No. It'll avoid a lot of frustration. You did talk about this road rage. I can solve the road rage. I just tell them, oh, y'all get up early enough to go to work. You ain't going to have no road rage. He's trying to hurry up and pass people. A man passed me in the fog this morning. I thought he was out of his mind. I said, pass me in the fog. Where could he be going? He got up late, overslept. He had the whole truth, number of truth, so help me God. Do that which is good. Set your alarm clock and get up. Don't hit the snooze button. Now, see, I ain't spending enough time on that. But this is the truth here. I'm trying to help you how not to disobey the law. Because God expects us to obey the law. You see it? Is it true or not the truth? Yeah, the truth. I know it's the truth. Now, they're all laws to be obeyed. All right? God expects us as Christians to obey these earthly laws. Only when they come against his ordinance that we not under authority we get from under the world system government authority when they violate God's authority. You understand that? All right. With God, there's no, oh, listen to this now. Listen to this. With God, there's no possibility of rebellion without judgment. You heard that? With God, there's no possibility of rebellion or resistance without judgment. Now, what is he saying there? What really is Brother Watchman he's saying? With God, there's no possibility of rebellion or resistance without judgment. Whenever God dealt with resistance, whenever God dealt with rebellion, God had a law that gives some punishment for that sin. God said, you do this, and this was going to be the punishment of your sin. You read the book of Leviticus, and you read some of those Deuteronomy. I can never pronounce that word right. And then read all these books of the laws and see how God set these laws up so you'll know if I do this. That's why Paul argued in the 7th chapter of Romans that if he had not known the law, then he would not have sinned. Because the law reveals sin unto us. We would not have known sin until the law came. Paul said, when the law came, I died. In other words, I became guilty to sin. Then I became a sinner when the law came, because then I can recognize sin. So all these laws was to govern man. And then now we got these laws to face, and now we got to deal with them, the consequences. So there's no such thing with God as rebellion without punishment. You see it? God said that in black and white, in plain writing. You rebel, you're going to get punished for it. Some might lead to death, and some might not lead to death. An eye for an eye. You remember those scriptures, right? And so these were set to govern man. Now, I'm going to show you something here where we fail the modern society, the modern family. When I say the modern family, they got their own set of rules now. You with me? They've rewritten the rule of home training. They got their own set of way to govern their children. Oh, I'm not gonna raise my children like they raised me. I don't know if you ever heard that before. Maybe you might as well hear it yourself. but the whole thing is, it worked. Old school worked. Yeah, they worked. Now, let me tell you what went wrong with this modern society of family government. See, that's a government, the way you govern your children, the way you govern your home, the way a husband treats his wife, and the way a wife reverence a husband and submits to a husband. You see, all these things we're going to talk about, government within the home, whether we finish it or not, I don't know. But here's the statement I need to make here that's very, very interesting. I'm going to repeat the first part again. With God, there's no possibility of rebellion without judgment. Everybody here didn't understand that, right? Now, the main cause of disobedience today in the home is rebellion without judgment. You see, I just said the same thing. I hope you caught it. The main cause for rebellion in the home is rebellion without judgment. In other words, they let rebellion go without punishment. A parent let his child break rules without any governing rules, without any governing authority behind it, without any consequences to their rebellion. I hope I'm making sense here. Spare the rod. Spoil the child. What that scripture was talking about is if you don't make correction, then there's an enemy that's going to make some correction down the road. You see it? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you don't correct it, you ever heard the old statement, nipping things in the bud? If you don't nip things in the bud, if you If you, my dad was a wise old man. I remember him and I was sitting on his old back porch, the step of his old back porch. And he had just planted a little tree in his backyard. And when he planted a little tree, it wasn't about maybe 2.5, 3 foot tall. He drove a stick right beside it and tied a little rope around it. And he told me, he said, Ron, you see that tree there? He said, I got a training rod on it. He said, now that tree gonna grow the way I want it to grow. He said, if you don't put a rod down there, it gonna grow the way it wanna grow. You see, he said, but I can control it right now. He said, when it get too big, you can't do that. I said, okay, I got that. I got that parable. And so my point is this, that if you don't apply a training rod to your children when they're young, the branch is still soft and tender, then you have no control over when they begin to grow old or older, because they begin to grow into their own being. Young, I hope you catch what I'm saying. They begin to grow into their own, in their own ways, and those ways might be the ways of God. Their own ways. They get to a place where you're trying to turn them, and they, when you're trying to turn them, instead of turning them, they rebel against you. Yeah. You ever drove a car and you fought the wheel? They said, don't fight the wheel. Just let it flow with you. Because the wheel will turn back by itself if you don't fight it. But sometimes when children, you try to correct them when they get older, then they rebel against your correction. And then daughter hating mother. Son hating father. For what? For a correction he made. But he didn't make that correction when they were able to understand it, and with the bend them a little bit. They tried to bend them when it was too late there. I'm telling you how this thing evolved. Because it happened because there was rebellion without judgment. You see it? Oh, there always needs to be, most of y'all kids are grown, but there always should be some type of a punishment for the mistake. Even if you grab them and talk to them a little bit, shake them a little bit. When you get older, you don't put the strap on, but a good harsh counsel would help. My dad would knock you side of the head. I don't care if you were 20 years old. You ain't no 2 men in this house, boy. Pack your bag now. You think you a man. You ain't gonna talk to your mama any kind of way. And we respected our mother. Because our father made sure we did. But not kids say what they want to say. And I be wondering, that's your sister, your brother? Because I'm lost here. I mean, I'm lost. I would have been corrected a long time ago. You see, I'm still learning my lessons because we're talking about authority in the home. And my dad didn't whip me much, but we respect his authority so much. His word was enough for us, put fear in us. He said, I'm just going to talk one time. He ain't told us twice. Now, people have lost that authority of their words because they let it go without judgment. They say it one time, then the child did it again, and they didn't make any correction. So that child said it was a false alert. This ain't true. This ain't real. They're just playing with you. No, they didn't play. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know y'all know what I'm talking about. They didn't play. But what we lost that. I say we, but a majority of parents today, young parents, especially young parents, they lost it. And we got to put it back in them. We got to put it back in them. I expect grandmothers and grandfathers to put some of this stuff back in them. Yeah. Yeah, put it back in them. Yeah, I tell my grandbaby going to respect me. Yeah. Yeah, they respect me. Might listen to their parents, but let me talk. Yeah. And I don't care what their mom and daddy say. You get mad. But some correction going to be made here. And I'm correcting what you should have corrected. You see it? He said, well, you never get through raising children. As long as you're living, you're going to be raising them some kind of way. You see, they might not like it, you know, but I think that's your obligation as parents. You know, they can be third, but you're always going to be their parent. You see it? You see, and we got to understand that. They're not too old to correct. They're not too old to correct. I think about another thing. Well, my brother had just come from Vietnam. This was years ago. He had just come from Vietnam. And he, you know, Vietnam, you go through all kind of stuff, you know. And you didn't know who the enemy was. You come back all stressed out. They got this post-traumatic stress and all this stuff. He came home, and boy, everything changed for him, boy. And he answered my daddy some kind of way dishonorable. And before I knew it, my daddy knocked him upside the wall. My brother got mad, was gone for 3 days. because he never expected that, you know. But my daddy proved to him that yeah, I'm still the man of this house here. You're going to respect. And he did. He came back home. He apologized. He got things straight. But my point is this, that always should be respect. Always should be honor to parents. Yeah. And then there's a scripture, honor thy father and thy mother. See, this is the first law with promise. That your life may be long upon the earth. It has something to do with long life. So honor, see, this is real. And if some children might be cut off early because of disobedience to parents. But you partially blame the parents for not making these judgment calls. This is important. I'm telling you, this is important. It could cause them their very life. Because you're not doing your obligation at parents, you see. So I understand the scripture, spare the rod, spoil the child. They got these new earthly laws coming in, will tell you how to govern your children. The social world don't tell me how to govern my children. I got spiritual laws to tell me. And they weren't talking about trying to wound your children, send them to the hospital. None of us got sent to the hospital. None of us got scalded with hot water. I mean, no, that's capital punishment stuff. No, but we knew that we wasn't going to do that again. Are you with me? And that's what the law is made for. It's like this policeman stopped me, and I'm trying to argue with him. I knew that I'm not doing this no more. Sometimes you need to pay the fine. The fine is so you can feel it. Yeah, I paid that $250 for that ticket. I bet you didn't do that no more. You ain't going to double park no more. Or you ain't going to speed in the 25-mile-per-hour zone, school zone no more. When you see that school sign, boy, you the first one to... Because I didn't pay it $250 for the last one. Yeah. Baby, I ain't going to get no more ticket here. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, the law is good if it's upheld. You see it? And so this is kind of like what your appetite on some of this stuff, but these are the things that make you. These are the things of authority. And I want you to understand this. The whole purpose of authority is to get us to obey the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, people think this lesson just on rebellion, that God punishes the evildoer. No, God is trying to get us into obedience. If only they let me help you, one translation say. If you're willing and obedient, you should eat the good. That's God just trying to get us to submit to him so we can get to where we're going twice as fast. Rebellion didn't stop the move of God when Miriam spoke against Aaron and spoke against Moses. No, it slowed down. You ain't never stopped God. But what I'm saying is your rebellion slowed you down. Your forward progress in doing what God wants you to do. It slows the apostle down when he got to go back and correct a situation within that you shouldn't even have to even correct. It slows you down when you got to go back and correct your children for something or get them out of jail for something they should have never even been there for. It slows your forward progress. God wants to make spiritual progress. Time is short. We don't have time to waste anymore. We're trying to get into a place of obedience, and that's all God wants. If you're willing, and that's what he's lusting about. It's not to condemn nobody. It's not to make someone a bad, rebellious person. It's trying to get what we want to obey. Teach me, Lord, that I might obey. All right? My time up. But finish reading that chapter. If you find out...